Hello, ladies. Welcome to another episode. Today, I'm going to be reviewing the last episodes of Selling Sunset Season 1. That's episode 4 through 8. There's a lot. I didn't know that there was 4 seasons. So this episode that I'm doing right now, I'll be done with season 1, and I'm starting to watch season 2. So before I get into it, I guess let's get into some life updates. Today was a good day. This morning, I went to my very first ballet class in over 2 years. Now, if you know anything about me, if you've listened to the episode Get to Know Me, you know that I grew up classically trained ballerina. I went to a ballet boarding school. My dream was to be a ballet. It was very serious ballerina. I was very serious. That was the passion, that was the dream. And then I got a brain tumor and that kind of stopped everything. So, ballet's always been a part of me. It always is going to be a part of me. And since COVID, all of the studios have been closed and you can't take classes. And now finally everything's open. I just want to say San Francisco is being very strict on COVID. Other places of the United States, they're pretty lenient. Things are open. You don't even have to wear masks inside. Concerts are open. Everything is open. But in San Francisco, you have to wear a mask in a ballet class, inside the gym, and you have to pr show proof of vaccination. So it's pretty intense. But I'm just trying to focus on that I got to take a ballet class, and it's amazing. I know for those of you that know how amazing it is to take a class, it's so good. Like, I felt muscles that you're not going to feel unless you do ballet. I'm excited to be sore. And then I went on a nice, beautiful walk also with the dog and my husband. So, just came back, made myself a little hot chocolate from Williams-Sonoma with a shot of espresso. The doggy is playing with a little chew toy, and I am here to record the rest of this fabulous episode. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Real Estate Queens podcast, ladies. I'm Marina Schifferman, your real estate fairy godmother. And in these episodes, we are going to talk everything buying and owning real estate, confidence, money, so many juicy topics, and all the female empowerment vibes. Let's do it. All right. Starting off on my notes, episode 4. So they're playing volleyball. All of the girls and their significant others are playing volleyball. Such LA vibes, summer vibes, sun, hot girls, little bikinis. It's like brings another term to family workplace. Family, workplace closeness, work family, work husband. It's nice. It's cute. I don't know if they really do that, probably, but it's super, super cute. I love Christine more. She actually apologizes when Mary says that her feelings are hurt. So instead of getting defensive and blaming Mary, she accepts her friend was hurt and she apologized. That takes a really big person. I don't usually comment on the drama in this show, just the real estate. But I just have to point out that I like Christine for taking responsibility for her actions. I can't get over how they dress. They dress like they are going to a nightclub. Okay, like, and they dress kind of like not even elegant, sexy going to a nightclub. They dress straight up slutty, like tight ass dresses with that weird material, boobs out, high cut skirts, stiletto heels, like full on makeup. Who the hell wears that to go to work? It's like takes it away. And then after the beach is an office scene. Christine is talking about the new MLS. Okay. So this is like a real estate term they throw out there. MLS, Multiple Listing Service. It is a website that only agents have access to with new listings. So when I'm searching for a buyer, For example, I search on the MLS. Now, buyers do not have access to this. It's not the same as Zillow. It's like all the stats and the sales and the details and agent remarks and special notes and all that stuff with our numbers and stuff. And then every so often they change it. And so she mentions this. She just said one thing and that's it. They're throwing out real estate terms, flashes of real estate life here. That's my note. Okay. So yeah, Christine just like throws out that she doesn't like the new MLS and then they change the subject, go on to something else. So like that's an example of how they just like throw out real estate terms. Throughout the show, like people watching don't know what the MLS is and they don't spend time to explain it. So it's like, why even put that in there? Hi, doggy. Okay, he's coming right next to me. So anyways, they're talking about going for a guy where you don't feel the passion and the chemistry right away. Should Christine go out with her high school friend again or no? Okay. This is something that I'll comment on that's not necessarily real estate related. Should you go out with a guy if you don't feel the passion and the chemistry right away? I know we can all relate to this. A lot of people say, oh, just go out with him. He's such a good guy. The chemistry will grow. Or you feel the passion, the chemistry right away. I mean, it's true. Next, Chriselle talking about how she got an offer, but that the offer was contingent on the sale of the buyer's home. Okay. Which is not on the market yet, but ready to go. She goes to the brothers for advice and they tell her, they tell her that there's a couple of options that she could do. So let me back up. Chriselle has a listing. She's representing the seller. She got an offer from some buyers that said, I will buy your house with the condition that, which is a contingency, with the condition that I sell my home first. So basically they're in contract. They're not showing the home to other people. With this huge contingency, with this huge question mark if they're going to sell their home. Then once they do sell their home, then they can close escrow. So many things can happen. So the brothers are telling her there's two options. Either they accept the offer and the buyer releases non-refundable deposit to hold their place. And if they happen to back out of the contract, their deposit is just kept by the seller. Or refundable deposit, but you have to give the seller an out if you're in contract, if they receive a better offer while you're in contract. Okay, so it makes sense. That's pretty self-explanatory. But there's more. Like the first option, buyer releases non-refundable funds. I would still say that the seller has the right to keep showing the property for backup offers. And then, or if they don't want that option, if they want refundable funds, they can give refundable funds, but the seller has to have an out. They could keep showing and accepting a better offer while they're in contract. Love it. Love it. Okay, let me take a sip of my hot chocolate. So cozy. I'm like sitting here with a blanket, sipping my hot chocolate, recording a podcast. It's like such a vibe. Okay. They ended up taking their offer off the table, Chriselle says. So the buyers took their offer away. He asks if she has a backup offer and she says no. She said that she didn't continue to market the property because she thought she was safe. Okay. So that is the mistake of a rookie agent. The only reason you would not keep showing a property is if the buyer had no contingencies. That means there's no way for them to get out of the contract without risking their initial deposit. If there are contingencies, and not to mention something as big as selling my house, you better fucking believe I'm going to show that house and get any offers I can, because that offer is likely going to fall through. Anytime there's a contingency to sell their house, it's 80% going to fall through, because houses take a long time to sell, especially in LA. And, you know, they could end up not getting what they want for it. It's just like, why would you do that? Sell your house first and then go shopping for a house. No one's going to accept your offer if it's contingent on the sale of your home. Oh my gosh, my dog just snuggled next to me. Okay. And I have a note here. Chriselle is totally a new agent just by how she carries herself. Okay. Not even that the twins have to tell her how to, what to do and stuff with this offer, and she stopped showing the house, but it's just like how she carried herself. So the twins, when the twins were strong about this, she was like a dog with her tail between her legs. She even said sorry. So basically, when the brothers were like, "Well, have you kept showing the house? Did you get any other offers?" She says sorry and backs down and like she did something wrong when, I mean, that's just a new agent. There's nothing wrong with her. You just get experience and confidence as these things come up. Okay. Another term they throw out is triple end. So triple ending a deal means you're representing the seller and the buyer. The buyer buys the house, and then later he becomes the seller. Okay, so basically you are either representing the seller and then they sell the house. You're representing the buyer who buys the house. The seller needs to buy a new house. That's triple ending the deal. It's pretty unethical. I only work with one party in a transaction. I will never work with the buyer and the seller in the same transaction unless I have my partner, my team taking care of one person or the other because it's a conflict of interest. Let me just break it down quickly. Like, my job for the seller is to get her the highest possible price. My job for the buyer is to get her the lowest possible price. So how can you protect both people? So now they're introducing a new lady, Davina. She's showing Chriselle a new development condo. Okay. So quickly to explain what a new development condo is, it's either a brand new building from the ground up or completely remodeled by usually one developer or one developer company. Now, these are pretty common. People go buy houses that are just being built from the developer. Like they go straight into like the developer has an office with a real estate agent who's representing them. People go in and buy. They can customize. That's super, super popular right now. And I actually have to make another podcast about this and make a module in the courses for about this because there's a lot of things that you have to look out for, watch out for if you go buy a house straight from the developer if you don't have your own representation. Okay. Heather is seeing her listing with the restaged furniture and one of the twins. It's necessary to tour property before professional pictures are taken, unless you totally trust the stager. Okay. So, in my 10 years of being a realtor, I've worked with one stager for the majority. Like in the beginning, I tried out a bunch of stagers and felt what it was like. And then I've found my lady who I love. I love her style, and she's been my lady. But that's been for sales of under 2 million. When I started breaking the ceiling of $3 million, $4 million sales, I started using a different stager because of the more high end. Okay. When Heather said she brought clients and deals into the brokerage, explain that. Well, basically, the brokerage is the brothers. They get the deals and they disperse them among the girls, but the girls can bring their own clients in. That's basically what she's saying here. The twin had to tell Heather no phone calls during the open house. Ouch, and also Avi. What's up? So my note here, I'm just reading it. What's up with Davina? First, she bags on Mary on her engagement ring to her face, saying that it's not like a diamond, it's something else. Like, you don't say that. And she's talking about this in front of other people. It's just an observation.
Something that I've noticed throughout the show that I love, and it's very true for high-end agents who work with developers, is I like how the twins are so involved with their clients when they're doing new development. Like, either they help their clients buy the house and they run all the numbers for them. They can project manage the whole thing. They can find contractors, vendors, whatever, bringing ideas to the table. And then they work with them to sell it. I really like how they're that involved. Like, I am beginning to work with a couple of developers and I'm with them from the very, very beginning. Like, I help them buy the complete fixer-upper house. I see their plans. I help them work on a budget. The budget is basically what the house will sell for if B, this is what the house will sell for, and if C, this is the house will sell for. I work with them. I'm a very important part of their decision making of what finishes and what to do in the house. So I really, really like that. It just shows you how, like, really good and experienced they are. Okay. Back at the office, the girls touch on referral agents because Heather's asking if anyone knows an agent in Las Vegas. Okay, let me touch on this because I have built a whole team of referral agents. So let's say, so I have this course, right? I teach women how to buy their first home with confidence all over the United States. Some, the women that graduate are like in Washington or Ohio or, you know, anywhere. And I had one lady ask me if I know a realtor where she is. So that's really how the real estate queen team is born, is that I find agents that are women, badasses, the same level of client support. And we network, we talk, we figure it out if it'll work together. We do a couple deals together and then bam, we're connected and we refer deals back and forth. That's how referring agents work. Okay. Let's just move on to episode 5. Heather is talking about the potential $4 million listing to her friend. And she's saying if she got it, it would be life-changing, meaning if she found a buyer and got that commission. And then she was saying that she has competition in the office with the other girls. I mean, I don't get competition. Like, there's enough business to go around. And if someone's getting more business than you, that just means that they're better. Whoever brings the buyer brings the buyer. Like, you have your buyers, people have their buyers. There's no need to feel competition. Like, I did real estate coaching when I first started in real estate, and the coach was like, abundance. There's enough business to go around. Never feel competition because you have to work with these people. Who knows if they're going to have a buyer or seller for you and you have to work with them. Like, you work with the same agents year after year. Okay. There is a lot of time spent in the show showing houses with no results, like Christine did with Brett's clients. I mean, that's a lot about real estate too, is that my clients see a lot of houses before they write an offer. That's just how it is. But I don't do a lot of private showings. When I'm working with a buyer, open houses are a thing. They go to a lot of open houses first, and then the houses that they like, we do private showings. But this is unless you're working with very exclusive, high-end, busy, time is of the essence clients. That is a completely different ballgame. Okay. Let's talk about price. Okay, let's see. Mary is showing a house to her client. Mary is saying her client Mary is saying that her client wanted a modern home, but the more she shows her houses, she's noticing that that's not actually what she wants. Buyers, she says, buyers don't really know what they want until they start looking and seeing it, because it becomes real. And her client is asking her about price. And of course, the client is like, the price is way too high. Can the seller come lower? That's a common theme in every single real estate show. is they show this. You tell us the buyer the price, and the buyer's like, that's way too high. Every time. You're never going to find a seller that says, oh, that's a good price. So let's talk about the difference between list price and sales price real quick. Real quick. The list price is what the house is marketed for. The sales price is actually what the house sells for. There are discrepancies. The list price is a fake fucking number. The list price is the price that the seller and her real estate agent come up with to get people in the door. The sales price is actually what the house is worth that the buyer and the buyer's real estate agent decide it is. And that sets the new comp for the area. This is the first time in the show so far that someone is talking to a client about putting in an offer. We guide our clients on price totally. Let's see how I always do it. Okay, so we guide our clients on price, so much more than price, but we guide our clients on price. What's sold in the area? What I think? What are my gut feelings? Because I'm their biggest asset to my clients because I know the market so well. I do like deals every day. Every day. I know what things sell for. I'm honest and I tell them the truth. I know the market. So when they're asking me what's it going to sell for, I show them what's sold in the area. We go over the disclosure package, and then it's my gut feeling what I know to be true, and it's competition. Okay? If you don't listen to your super local realtor, that means you're going to put in a bunch of offer after offer after offer. It's just not how it's going to work. Okay, we see the offer acceptance phone call, the key transfer, and that's the most we've seen in this show about like actually how that works. Okay. When a twin is showing a listing to Maya that he helped construct, he says he was very involved in the new construction. He engaged the builder and the architect. He reviewed the plans many times, changed the street name. It's awesome that he's so involved. I know I keep saying this, but that's what sets us apart. Like, I got a call the other day from my developer who's fixing up a house and I'm going to sell it. And he's like, what do you think that I'm going to do this landscaping? What do you think the color of the house should be? And I could have said, I don't know. I'm not your designer. But I said what other houses are like, what I'm seeing in the market, what my personal opinions are on price, what the style is now. Like, I am involved. I can even go to nurseries, help pick out trees because I want to build that relationship and I want to know about the house. Yeah. Okay, so Maya is struggling with the prospect of being a mom, a wife, a real estate agent. She says that she cannot have it all. And something has to give. Now, I can't really comment too much on this because I don't have a kid, but I do know that as women, we do have to deal with a lot of stuff and we need help. We cannot do it alone and keep our sanity. We need help where we can get it. And yeah, that's just all I'm going to say there. Okay, episode 6. They are doing a photo shoot for the company, marketing photos. Yay, showing beautiful Rodeo Drive, putting on the vibe of glamour. It's really nice. So Christina's talking about her date with her high school friend. She was saying that the chemistry wasn't there. And she's just going to move on. Back at the office, one of the twins tells Christine and Chriselle, that a client wants to meet with both of them. They think it's a co-listing. So they think that both of them are going to be the real estate agent for this buyer. And it's crazy. So they both go into this lunch meeting with this one buyer thinking that they're both going to represent her. But what actually happens is she fucking gives them like a job interview right there. So she's like, hey, Christine, why do you think you're the best for me? Hey, Chriselle, why do you think you're the best for me? It's so awkward. If that were to happen to me, I would back out. No way someone is going to pin me against somebody right in front of my face and catch me off guard like that, especially someone that I work with in my office. I would politely say, you know what? I do not compete. I'm the best for my clients. I know what I'm doing. If you want to talk to me, we can talk later. But I do not compete. I've said that before. I have absolutely said that before. Because if you don't have client control, if you allow the client to walk all over you and dictate how this is going to go, no, then you won't have client control through the whole thing. And I have a few examples of this later on. Okay, let's see. Okay, so then back at the office, that client calls Chriselle. Christine is there. She puts it on speaker and she tells them that she wants to go with Chriselle. The whole situation was fucked up. You know, it was just no. It would never happen. And I'm very surprised that Christine went with that because it doesn't seem like her. Okay. Heather's listing is ready, the one that she staged, restaged. She's putting out open house signs. She's showing, doing a bunch of showings at the open house. People walk in and they talk to her about the house. That's a touch of real estate. Okay, so that's the touch of real estate. It's just like her being at the open house, watching how she interacts with people, how she talks to people. It's a lot of energy. You have to be there. You have to be on it. Yeah. Okay, let's see. One of my notes. I must point this out. When Heather says that she might have a buyer for that $40 million listing that Christine wants to get, Christine rolls her eyes. She acts catty. And when the other girls tell Christine to show support, she jokes. Okay, ladies, we need to support each other. I don't like Christine now for this because there is no competition. Women fucking support each other. You might have a buyer for this $40 million listing. Good, great. But in real estate, nothing's done unless it's in writing. No one actually had a buyer. So it was like fucking pointless for them to even talk about this. But come on, ladies, we support each other. So there's a quote here. When you're dealing with billionaires, they want something no one else can have. Ooh, good one, good one, good one. Christine gets flowers at the office from a guy. Christine is good at receiving and accepting. That's part of femininity that I've been studying a lot about femininity, masculinity. I talk a lot about it in my programs, how to buy real estate in your feminine, because it's traditionally a masculine thing. And a lot about femininity is your intuition, accepting the man's help, accepting. And Christine is very good at accepting. Okay. Heather, the twin, and another agent are meeting at Heather's listing to discuss an offer. It's weird because the other agent tells her the number verbally. And Heather calls her sellers to see if they would accept that. An offer is just, I mean, an offer is not verbally. I would never call the seller if I got a verbal offer. I would say put it in writing because you call the seller and you say, hey, they want to offer $5 million. The seller says yes. She gets excited. And then anything can happen with the offer unless it's in writing. Unless you really trust the agent, you know the agent. But, excuse me, a verbal offer is nothing. Okay, episode 7. So I want to talk about clients. Chriselle shows the client who she was competing with Christine, her name is Alexandra, a house. The client was a fucking bitch. She didn't like the house, and so she was like, I took time off work to come and be here. And Chriselle just does not understand client control. They both, Chriselle and Christine, let the client basically take control when she was interviewing both of them. So what do you think? The client's just going to like respect Chriselle or whoever she went with because she has the control, but it's really the agent has the control. And not in a bad way. It's just we are guiding you. We are the leaders. You hire us to be the leaders. Okay, let's see. Back at the office, team meeting. let's also talk about listing agents versus buyer's agents. Christine shows Heather a house for her client. Maya tells Chriselle she has a listing for her buyer. Okay, great. So a listing agent is a person representing the seller. The listing is the house that's being sold. Buyer's agent is the agent representing the buyer. Everybody needs to have their own representation looking out for them and their best interest. The agents are the ones that communicate with each other. The buyer and the seller never see each other. They never communicate. Okay. So if, for example, like Chriselle, what is this? Christine shows Heather a house for her client. So let's say Christine has a listing representing the seller. Heather has a buyer. The house might be perfect. They show each other. They talk about it. Okay. There's another quote here. Maya says, the first offer is usually the best offer. And she's right. In my career, I have always noticed that the first offer is the best offer. Now, this is not in a competitive situation, because in a competitive situation, you get like five offers all at once. This is talking about if the house is not getting offers, you're receiving a first offer. It's usually a lowball offer. And the seller's like, no, let's hold out until there's a better offer. Honey, there's never going to be a better offer. The first offer is the best. It's only going to go downhill from there, because time kills any deal. The last scene when Christine is showing Heather her clients. Okay, what is this? The last scene when Christine is showing Heather and Heather's clients her listing, and the door is closed. It's locked. She can't get it to open. The house manager isn't there. It just shows you that shit happens. That's happened to me one time before when I took buyers to a listing and the lockbox wasn't working, and I couldn't get a hold of anybody, and shit just happens. So now let's talk about episode 8. This is the last episode of the season. They're having a celebration party to celebrate their work and everything. Yeah, it's really nice. I think it's really nice to celebrate your accomplishments. Absolutely. I mean, like, every time a transaction closes, I celebrate. I mean, not only do I give champagne to the buyer or seller, but I have a little mini celebration as well, because you have to celebrate all the work that you put in. Okay. Back at the office, a client comes in to discuss his home. It's been on the market for 6 months, no offers. This is what I was talking about. You need to keep the momentum. When the most important time for a listing is the first 2 weeks. You have to come out with the right price, the right marketing in the first 2 weeks. That's momentum, because the longer it sits on the market, less people are going to be interested. Oh, I've seen that. Oh, why hasn't it sold? What's wrong with it? Questions, questions, questions. So you have to have the best price, listing price you can. Because the longer it sits, you're just going to have to reduce the price and reduce the price, reduce the price. All right. Okay, so that's it for this episode. Most of the episode I had to fast forward because it was just a lot of drama. But that is season 1. So I reviewed all of the real estate I could, and I hope you liked it. I would love for you to let me know if you actually like these episodes before I start recording season 2. But yeah, so anyways, reach out to me. I'd love to start a conversation. Find me on Insta, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.